Hey everyone, this is Jocelyn Bellows, and welcome to this edition of LEAP. Joining me today is Amber Kiera. Amber is a blind speaker and coach, and she is currently transforming leaders into bold world changers. Amber, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I've been really looking forward to this interview, and I'm so happy to be here.
I am too. You're just such a ray of sunshine, and I so enjoy seeing your face and hearing your happiness because you just it emanates through you. But I want to get right to it, get right started. So you're a blind speaker and coach. Why? Why do you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I lost about 90% of my visual field throughout childhood due to a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which after 28 years, I still cannot spell.
We'll Google it later. I'll put it in the show notes later when I can figure out how to spell it myself.
Okay. but yeah, I've got probably between 5 and 7% of my visual field left over. And really through that experience, over the years, and even now, I've learned a special like strategy and knack for overcoming challenging obstacles and circumstances and doing it with grace, boldness, and courage. And those are the same lessons that I like to bring when I'm speaking on stages and coaching people one-on-one. Is I like to use those stories, the wisdom and the truth that I've gained, to teach others to use courage to overcome fear and live a life that they love, no matter what circumstance they face.
I love that. Let's actually go right into some of those stories and share some of the stories, because I think those illustrate so much who you are and who you've become and who you're continuing to become. I think when we step into our own ability and our own power and show up as we are meant to and as we are, that's where people get to learn to see themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe start with, a story of courage, of something that has brought you to a place of understanding where your courage lies.
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember, just as I started to lose my eyesight, people, teachers, my parents, friends, and, you know, when I would describe what was happening, which was me losing my eyesight, they would say, oh, so that means you're blind. And I remember really just hating being associated with the word blind, because one, I had never met any person that was blind before. And two, in my mind, you know, being blind or being called blind meant, to me, the way that I was hearing the word meant that I couldn't do certain things, or it felt very limiting just to be associated with that word. And I wanted to continue on with life as usual and not have to be put in this box where I felt that my life would be limited to what people and what I perceived the word blind to be. And so I remember just like, no, I don't want to be blind. I don't want this. So really dancing around at that particular part of my identity. And I said the word part because, you know, that is a characteristic. It's not my whole identity. It's just a part of it. And I would say something that was really courageous of me was to say, you know what? I am not going to live this way any longer. I felt like an imposter, like I was trying to pretend not to be something that I was. I was trying to, you know, not really accept what was going on and what was happening, and that doesn't work very well. And so a courageous move I made was I said, no longer am I going to continue to feed myself these stories that what's happening with my eyes has to take over my entire life. And so from that point on, I said, you know what? I am blind. I am losing my eyesight. I have a degenerative eye condition. And I am still living a life that I love. And I'm going to make that decision every single day that I wake up until it becomes second nature. And some days were challenging. Some days are still challenging. But what I'm committed to doing and what I'm committed to showing up as is a person who is blind, yes, and is also living a life that I love and creating the things that I want in this life and doing that with grace, boldness, and courage, no matter what. Because, Jocelyn, the truth is that the condition I have is degenerative. So the the 7% of visual field that I have today, that I'm speaking with you today, could be gone when I wake up tomorrow, and I'm going to be faced again with another choice. Am I going to let this circumstance define me and define how I'm showing up, or am I going to make the choice to continue to show up in a way that completely aligns with who I'm created to be?
And I know we talked about this earlier. So you have something called the BOLD method, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. And I'm so grateful that's the word you've chosen, because that's the piece that I feel is such a strength for you, of taking a bold move. There are, you and I had talked about this before we began recording, like a couple weeks ago when we did our pre-conference. I spent a decade in the organ and tissue donation industry, specifically in the cornea arena, and where we recovered cornea for transplant. So I worked in a space where I was working with people who'd lost their eyesight and were having, they had the option for restorative practices. Now, this obviously is not something you have. However, the reason I illustrate that is, in that situation, with all of these people who had the option for transplant and the option for improvement, they limited themselves as to what they could do in their life. It was the yeah, buts. Yes, I have this, but I can't do because. Yours is the yes and. And I think that's such a powerful and bold and decisive thing to do, because we have this one opportunity to really get it done to this life. And if you believe in past life regression and future life, which I won't, that may or may not come from this conversation, but in this particular life, this is, these were the circumstances in which we were given, and you're choosing to find the best of the best of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about that choice. And it's definitely, it's a choice that I get the opportunity to make every single day, and to also make at every moment, because throughout our day, right, we face circumstances and challenges. We wake up and we're all excited, 5, 6, 7 a.m. And, by 2 p.m. we're like, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? I'm getting tired, So we continuously have this opportunity to decide and make this choice of how am I going to show up?
Yeah. And so talk to me a little bit about your BOLD method. What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, a word that people have always described me as is bold, even to this day, whether I'm speaking on a stage or just meeting someone for coffee for the first time, they're like, oh my gosh, you are so bold. So I have taken the word bold and really put into that method the wisdom, the truth, the knowledge, and my expertise for overcoming great adversities and living a life that is rooted in purpose. So I've taken that word and come up with a very simple four-step strategy that's also very powerful and has been effective in my own life and the lives of people that hear me speak and in the lives of people that I coach one-on-one. So I'll give you just a quick overview of what each of those letters stands for. Yeah. B is breaking free from the story. So I'd mentioned earlier, I was living in a story that blindness had to rule my life, that mm-hmm. blindness was going to set me back and limit me from doing things that I love. That was the story that I was living in. And mm-hmm. there's all sorts of other stories that have come up for me that we could get into, like you're never going to get picked, or you're always going to be last, or no one likes, all these stories on and on that come up for us. We've got to break free from that. Identify those stories and decide to break free. So that's the first step to the BOLD method. O is overcome fear. As you can imagine, I had a lot of fear to overcome. I can remember in my school days, just when that bell would ring and it would be time to go from one class to the next, that was terrifying for me. I didn't know if I was going to trip over someone or bang my head against a locker, or if I was going to be able to find the class okay. Like, I had to overcome fear moment to moment. And how do we do that, Jocelyn? Overcoming fear is so simple. All you've got to do is take the next step.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. Take the next step. That is the most simplified strategy for overcoming fear. And it works every single time. So that's O. And then L is live your truth. You know, the truth about me is, yes, I am blind. Yes, I have a degenerative eye condition. But that's not the whole truth. Other truths about me is that I'm bold, courageous, I'm fun, I'm lively, I'm vivacious, I have a purposeful dream in my heart to impact this world. So I have the opportunity to live my truth. And whenever there is something that comes up that is not in alignment with what I know my truth to be, I need to make a shift. And so as a coach, I am constantly helping my clients to make those subtle shifts so that what is happening in their physical space aligns with the truth that they know themselves to be. And that is so powerful. And then D is dream with purpose. And so that is really all about clarifying your vision and living a life that is rooted in purpose and dreaming from that place. And that is where we see leaders being transformed into bold world changers that are making an impact in this world that is going to last far beyond their lifespan. So super simple, very powerful.
Yeah. I'd like to go through some of these. I sort of talked a little bit about one of the fears that you had to face as a child. But let's start from the breakthrough from the story. I'd like to go a little more deeply into there. If you can share an example of a story that you've held on to for many, many years that you yourself had to break free from.
Yeah, so once I can remember a specific example is I remember in school, and a lot of these stories, they stem like back to childhood. So
they always do, because that's what that's when we start to craft who we believe we're meant to, we are, because our community has dictated as such. Yet that might not be who we are.
Exactly.
Because what we are is really these bold, beautiful, amazing creatures that are just energy.
Yeah, totally.
Purest of forms.
So I remember this specific scenario that popped up time and time again. It was me being in like PE class, and the PE coach would always pick like the two most athletic people. And he would say, you guys are the team captains. Pick from the rest of the class who you want to be on your team. And I never went to a special school for the blind. I always went to a regular school, which I'm actually very grateful for. And so I was always, and I rarely use the word always or never, but I was always the only blind person in the class because I was the only blind person in school. And you just didn't want the blind kid on your basketball or soccer team or whatever, because you weren't going to win. And of course, kids weren't thinking that way to be mean. It's just a natural, you know, if you're picking people for your team, you want to pick the best. So I remember either not getting picked at all or being picked at the very, very last. It was like, all right, you're the last person left. I guess you'll be on my team. And almost feeling like this guilt and regret and shame about who I was. And like, so I developed this story of you're never going to get picked. No one likes you, or you're going to get picked last. So really the overarching theme was no one's going to pick you. Like, you're not going to get picked. And so I've seen how this story has come up for me, whether before I became an entrepreneur or a purposepreneur, as they call it.
I love it.
Yeah. Shout out to
that's an Alex director. Thing, isn't it? That might be an Alex and Thomas thing.
yeah, absolutely. Alex Agreston, the purpose pioneers. Thank you for that term.
Yeah.
So before I became a purpose pioneer, applying for jobs or, even just going out to be on different teams or clubs in the realm of dating, this story of you're never going to get picked just became a part of how I lived. Until I identified that story and I decided to break free from that. And I'm also a very spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that really helped me to break free is that I know that God picked me. I am a chosen by the creator of the universe for exactly the person who I'm created to be. And so really breaking free from that story and changing that and living my truth is I am picked by the creator of the universe. I don't care if some guy on Bumble likes me or if some, you know, person who doesn't understand disability discriminates against me in a job interview, or if I go out to be a part of a group of people and, you know, there's no alignment there, they don't like me or whatever, like all these little things that come up, it really is very like trivial and almost it is meaningless when you think about being chosen and picked by the creator of the universe. I don't need to be picked by anyone or anything else because I am chosen, I am already picked, and I'm living a life that I'm created to live. And it's like so freeing and powerful, but breaking free from that story, allowing that to just be like fully like rooted inside of me, overcoming that fear by taking the next step, and then living that truth allows me to be in a place where I can dream with purpose and change the world, because I know that that story that ruled my life for so long of no one's gonna pick you is gone. I've broken free from that. I've created a truth that is firm and strong and deeply rooted on the inside of me, which is I am picked, I am chosen. It's like, it's huge. And I can see how that's played out in my personal life, in relationships, and also in the way that I'm showing up in the world and making an impact for people around me.
Mm-hmm. I want to add one thing to that, though, is I absolutely agree with you in everything that you've said. I just want to add that you also get to choose you. Like, you choose yourself. You get to have that power within you to say, to like swallow that and say, I know I've been chosen. Right, the higher source has chosen me, and whatever belief system that you have, I'm a believer in source and in the universe. I know that I'm chosen. I also choose me. And every time I continue to choose me in any situation, that's what I get to live in my own power. Right? Yeah. And I get to break free from the stories of what others have perceived about me. And what others have layered upon of what I'm meant to be or meant to be doing or how I'm meant to be showing up, that's theirs. That's not mine. That's theirs. That's external to me. The moment that you choose yourself, that's when you get to live in that boldness of being.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that.
So moving on, I'm going to continue down this road of through your bold method, because I love it so much. The overcoming fear. And I know we touched a little bit about that with your going from class to class when you were a child. What else have you really stepped into what you perceived as a fear and realized that there really wasn't as much to be afraid of as you once thought?
Yeah, I think, gosh, there's so many examples. It's almost like there's so many different stories that I could tell you, but really, you know, taking a like a few steps back and looking at my life from a bird's eye view, really the fear of stepping fully into who I am created to be, like that. Overcoming that fear in and of itself has been huge for me. So showing up and saying like, yes, I'm blind. Yes, I have this disability. And really being able to like put that at the forefront. It's really like almost my entire brand. If you go to my website, it's like blind, bold, and changing the world. Like that wouldn't work if I was trying to hide who I was.
Yeah.
So I remember like years and years, like I didn't want to carry a cane. I didn't want to, you know, let people know that I had a disability or that I couldn't see or I was visually impaired, like really trying to tuck that away and hide it. And
almost like trying to fit in.
Yes, exactly.
You're trying to fit into something that other people needed to perceive you as.
Yes, exactly. And so really that fear of like, what if I decided to show up as all that I was created to be? And put this thing that I hated so much and that I wished would go away at the forefront of who I was and just being authentically me, that is the fear that I had to overcome. And again, it's a day by day thing, right? But taking that bold step and saying, you know what, from this day forward, I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am. I'm not going to be fearful about what other people think about me. And I'm going to step into my truth.
Yeah. And it's, I want to sort of branch, share a little bit about something that I'm currently going through. And really it's very present to me right now, with my own fears. You know, so my journey really began when I left my marriage and realized that I really needed to stand on my own and stand up for myself and choose me. And in doing that, the biggest fear I had was, wow, when am I going to ever be loved? And I looked external to that, right? It wasn't, when am I going to love myself? It's, when is someone else going to love me? And as I started to embrace the actual notion is choosing me and loving me, I began sharing very publicly my own journey of what I was going through, all the emotions I was going through, really embracing that vulnerability. And it wasn't an intention to call forth sympathy from others. It really was me just putting myself out there and just living in that, what could have been a very fearful state, because it was sort of scary. But then I started like letting it go. And I was like, I'm going to post this thing and I don't care what people say. And it's not that I'm wearing my armor. I'm actually like, I just don't care. I'm detached from that outcome.
Yeah.
And here I am in season two of the show, and it's evolving and my practice is evolving. And I actually just relabeled. I went back to my original title of Break Up to Wake Up Coach. And I resisted that for so long, yet that's exactly what I am. And that's exactly what I do. And it's breaking up with your way of being to wake up to the person that you are authentically meant to be. So there's some fear around that of like, and it's created in my mind, like, wow, what are people, how are people going to label me? And then I was like, wait, it doesn't matter what they label me as. I know my truth. I know who I am. I've always known who I am. And the more that I step into that, the less there's fear around it. Mm-hmm. But you have to look in those dark corners. You have to peel back those layers.
Yeah.
Because once you do, you realize it's only you. It's been you all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been you with all the labels and the layers that other people have put upon you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So living your truth. Mm-hmm. How was that transition for you?
You know, the first step really to living your truth is declaring it. Like, what is true about you? And I said this earlier, the truth about me is that, yeah, I do have this disability. It's not going anywhere. In fact, the outcome could be that it goes to a place that could be even more challenging. But that's not the whole truth. And so really, it's so interesting stepping into the attributes about me that are truth. Like, people perceive me as a bold person before I even started to believe that I was bold. And now I've taken this truth and it's how I live. I show up as my biggest, boldest self. When I'm sharing with people out in the world, like, I am bold. And so even just taking a small portion of my truth, because there's a lot of things that are true about me and there's a lot of things that are true about everyone, but even just deciding this is the truth about me. And whenever something is not aligning with that truth, whether it's my circumstances or the way that I'm being, like, what kind of subtle shift do I need to make? So I can go back to this truth of me being bold. And if something is like really off, I can say, you know what, am I living my truth right now? And if I'm not, what kind of shift or adjustment do I need to make in order to make my physical realm, okay, what's happening in the physical realm, truly align with who I know myself to be?
So let's, I want to talk about that for a minute. How do you know, when do you determine when you're living in or out of alignment? Is it, you know, what are some of the triggers or what are some of the indications that you recognize for yourself in that situation?
So it really is, it's less about the circumstance and more about how I'm showing up. So there's been times where I'm in a group of people or I'm faced with a new decision. And I can tell, like I can tell from my inmost being whether or not I'm showing up as someone who is bold, right? And there's been decisions I've made that don't align with my truth. There's been, you know, like conversations or the way I've shown up in, you know, relationships or even just in life that don't align with my truth. And even like something simple, like, okay, another part of my truth is that I steward my body well. So I'm a good steward of my physical body. And so what does that mean? Like I nourish my body with healthy foods. I move it around and give it the movement practice that it needs in order for it to stay strong and to thrive. So when I'm having a very stressful day and I'm feeling anxious about all these projects and I go and binge eat like chips and salsa for an hour.
And that was me last night. Huh, we might be related.
We are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I go and I binge eat chips and salsa and scroll through Facebook for 3 hours, like I'm not aligned with the truth about me, which is that I'm bold, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm like doing big things in the world. I'm being a good steward of my physical body. Mm-hmm. I'm stewarding the time that I've been given on this earth well. Mm-hmm. Like that didn't align with my truth. And so I had to take a step back and be like, okay, you know what? We're out of alignment here. And it's not in a way that's like, there's nothing wrong. Yeah. There's nothing wrong here, but we're out of alignment. So what kind of subtle shifts do I need to make? Do I need to, you know, tomorrow morning, do I need to write down the things I want to accomplish? Do I want to make sure I have nourishing foods around me so that I'm like full and satisfied with things that are doing good for my body? So what kind of subtle shifts do we need to make? Which is why it's so important to have a coach. Like I firmly believe everyone needs a coach. And so I could like, I sent my coach a voice. This actually happened last week. Alex is my coach. So I'm like, Alex, I just spent 3 hours like scrolling through, like I'm not in alignment right now. And so your coach can help you, guide you as you make those subtle shifts so that you are living your truth, because that can go even further. We know people who are not living their truth for days, weeks, months, years.
Years. For me, like 40, you know, I mean, well, that's not entirely true, but it took me until 40 till I really woke up and started to understand this. I want to stay on this point then, because I think it's really important to illustrate, to note that it is okay to allow yourself to relax. It's okay to go out and have fun and live in the joy, right? I mean, that's ultimately what we're about, is living into your peace, living into your happiness. And if scrolling through Facebook is an alignment for you, let's say it's like you're scrolling through Facebook because you need a mind, your mind just needs like a break, right? Yet you get sparked by, oh, I saw this post, it sparks this other thing, this other thought that I had about how I can build my business or build myself. Like there is an allowance for that. I think it's really important that we illustrate. Yeah. This isn't like, we're not, you know, I know Facebook is the example we're utilizing, but in any of these factors, food may be actually food is a really wonderful one to bring too. Cause there's an option of nourishing your body in a way that is healthy and in alignment with your highest and best good. And then there's things that we just eat, like crap food, and I don't know for you, I know I use food as punishment. I punish myself with eating poorly. because I've done something that has been out of alignment, and then I go down that rabbit hole even further. And I've known this about myself, and I know that I've caught myself in the midstream of it, and I've thrown food away for that reason, because I don't want to have the temptation around me any longer. I just want to make sure that we're making that distinction, that there are things that you can do that may not be in the same thread of whatever it is that you're intentionally working on, but that can support you around your whole being.
Yeah, like, for example, my mom and I, we watched it felt like 3 hours, but like a 3-hour Lifetime movie last night. Uh-huh. And, you know, I had like a great dinner and dessert and like all these things, but it was an alignment, because the truth about me is that I'm a loving daughter who just like is overwhelmed with joy to spend any amount of quality time with my mom. But I'm not, I mean, all day long, are we going to watch like 5 Lifetime movies in a row and just gorge our faces and, you know, these high calorie foods that aren't good for our bodies to have in large amounts? Like, no, we're not going to do that. But of course, like, that was such a joy and a pleasure and in such total alignment with who I was to spend that time with my mom last night and make dinner and watch a movie. So you can see how, like, yeah, it's really almost like a balancing act. But it all goes back to, does this align with my truth? Am I living my truth right now?
Yeah. I also want to illustrate the other point you made too about always having a coach, which I 1,000% agree with you. And it's so funny. I reflect back to something I learned in my maybe mid-20s. I had she's still my friend. I had a friend, have a friend who, from college, that went on to become a therapist. And I remember when after she had started her own practice, and she was talking about going to see her own therapist. And I was like, well, that's weird, right? I mean, my 20-something-year-old mind says, why does a therapist need a therapist when the original therapist has all the answers, like knows all the things? Yeah, that was way off. They may have all the tools. I mean, and she does. She's got all these tools. Yet for her, she has to sort of get out of herself and her own being and has to have someone else sort of reflect and hold that space. And so I'm more of a proponent of coaching. I think coaching is, you know, coaching gives you the tools, gives you the fishing rod, gives you, you know, might provide the fishing rod, may provide the you know, the worms and the bait and all of the pieces, but you get to fish.
Yeah.
And I think it's so imperative that we all have coaches kind of streaming through our life. I mean, right now I know I have 2 on payroll, not to mention the dozens I talk to every week. So I have a lot, perhaps a little oversaturation. Yet I think it's so important. And I think I will always have that aspect in my life. And I have a tremendous amount of tools in just a few short years. And I'm going to continue to learn on those and continue to grow them, both on the, you know, on the cognitive side, as well as the energetic healing side. For me, that's a whole body, you're doing that whole body work. I'm curious why you stand in that thread of why coaches are so important and why it's important for you to have a coach in your world.
Yeah, coaching is, yeah, it's the way to make sure that you're living in your truth. I mean, to have someone in your corner to help you make those subtle shifts and adjustments and to cheer you on and to keep you grounded and to help you like dream big, like, it's huge and it's a total game changer. And I think everyone needs a coach. I have a coach, but I also think that a lot of people can be a coach. They have tools that they need to be a coach. And so, I tell that I coach a lot of people who want to have successful coaching businesses and careers. And I always tell them every single time, the best way to learn how to be a coach is to have a coach. So it's just, having a coach is powerful. Being a coach is powerful. And it's just, it's a wonderful journey. And one of my greatest pleasures is to coach people.
I find it slightly addictive. I'm slightly addicted. I mean, really, I think it's a pretty healthy addiction to have. So getting to your last step of dreaming with purpose. Why? Number one, well, what is it? Number one. And number two, why is purpose so important? Or is it important? And why does purpose play a role in that?
Yeah. So there's regular dreams and then there's dreams with purpose. And so I love to just encourage people to dream with a purpose. Like, how can you use your gifts, your talents, your strengths, your truth to leave an impact on this world that is going to like make a ripple effect in the universe? And it's just been powerful to see a lot of my clients come in. You know, they've got this dream in their heart, and to really see them clarify that, align it with their truths and their talents and their gifts, and to see the way that it has like made this huge impact on the community around them and ultimately in the world. So it starts really with a crystal clear vision and just being rooted in purpose. And from that place, being able to make those shifts, make those decisions, and make an impact that lasts.
And what's yours? What's your dream? What's your purposeful dream?
Yeah. So my purpose on this earth is to use the wisdom, the truth, the strength, the knowledge, and the expertise that I've gained from overcoming blindness to teach others how to use courage to overcome fear and live life boldly.
I'm going to kind of go back from, take a step back from boldness for a moment, because I know for myself that's a word that I identify with frequently, and that's a word that people use to describe me. Now, I will tell you from my own experience, I have days where I'm sort of exhausted, right? And I don't know that I'm out of alignment with my boldness. I think I've decided that to this particular day or these hours or whatever, I'm going to take a step back and not live into my like bold, and maybe I define it differently, like this big, bold, beautiful being, but just like to be this soft, subtle inward. So I'm curious for you, do you have those moments where you have a day to yourself that you just are like, I'm just going to be and sustain, and what does that look like for you?
Like a day where I'm not like coaching or speaking or like pouring energy out?
Yes. Like, how do you support yourself? Like, maybe it's a self-care piece.
Yeah, totally. So I wouldn't say that's a day where I'm not being bold, because to be quite honest with you, it takes a lot of boldness and strength and courage to say, yeah, I'm not going to be pouring out today. Today I'm going to be just in a position where I'm receiving and allowing my cup to become full. So I don't think that's apart from being bold. I think that really is the soil of boldness, is to take that moment and say, hey, like this is, because I mean, honestly, as a number three on the Enneagram and an achiever, it doesn't really take that much courage for me to show up and check boxes. But it takes a lot of boldness for me to say, you know what? Today, there's only one box I'm going to check, and that is filling my cup with everything that I need so that I can live a life that really aligns with who I know myself to be. So I would say that is totally bold for me, and to really declare that. And so just as we scheduled a Zoom call today, like tomorrow's Sunday, I'm not taking any Zoom calls. I'm not doing podcast interviews. I'm not applying for speaking engagements. I'm not taking connection calls. Like, I would love to, but I would say I'm checking in.
Thank you. I agree. Yes, you're checking out. I'll take that, checking out to check in. And quite literally, as soon as we wrap up today's call, this is it for me today. Yeah. Typically, I don't even do anything on a weekend at all, business related, because or podcast related. As much as I love it,
Yeah.
It's the time for me to go check in with me. And so right from here, I'm going to be changing and running out to the, you know, and playing in the mountains for the remainder of the weekend.
That's awesome.
As a recharge. So as we wrap, I'd love to get a final thought from you on point of inspiration. What keeps you charged and motivated?
What keeps me charged and motivated is speaking my truth. Having these moments where I can speak with people one-on-one, speak with people, whether it's on stages in front of hundreds of people or just sitting down for a cup of coffee or even sending a voice note to someone and having that opportunity to share and give. And so just to encourage each of you today, whatever fills your cup, whatever fuels your fire, go do that.
I love that. Amber, thank you so much for this inspired conversation and spending this morning with me.
Thank you. It's been so much fun. Thank you for having me.